Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to read to you from Matthew chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus says, beginning in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We are called by the Lord to be salt and to be light and to speak the truth in love. Well, this morning we are getting ready to welcome to the program Troy Miller. Troy is the president and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and we're going to talk about a number of items, and we're waiting for him to come online, but we're going to talk about AM radio. Did you know that they're trying to take away AM radio from cars, new cars that are being built, and Ted Cruz is one of those that is pushing for car manufacturers to keep AM radio standard on cars. Surely it doesn't cost that much money, I wouldn't think, for them to have an AM radio in the car, but there are some that want to do away with that. We're also going to talk about the situation on our college campuses. We talked about that yesterday, but it bears repeating because it just shows the corruption and rot that is in the college university system. And as I saw one guy, he put down, you know, colleges today, universities today have become daycare centers for leftists. And, you know, these people they're big and bad and tough till the police come in, and then they're crying and whining, "Oh, you're hurting my arm, you're hurting my arm." Well, they're disrupting everything. And as Ron DeSantis, we played a clip from Ron DeSantis yesterday. He said, "You know, we're not going to put up with that. You block roads in Florida, we're going to haul you away. And you don't have the right to, interfere with the regular flow of traffic, to interfere with other people's lives just because you want to make a statement." And the statement that they're making is pro-Hamas. Hamas is an evil, satanic, barbaric government. It is evil to the core. To side with Hamas over Israel is literally to side with the devil over God. Now, Israel doesn't do everything right. Israel is not God, but they are God's chosen people. And Israel does not just sweep in for no reason, as Hamas did against them on October 7th, and start killing innocent women and children and families. They don't do that. But Hamas does that because the devil does that. The devil wants to steal and kill and destroy. And so what we're seeing on college campuses is these students get swept up in this, the fervor of what's going on. They don't even understand the issues. As one guy said, you know, they can't even find Gaza on a map. And yet they're chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Listen, God gave the land to Israel. That's their land. And anytime you come up against Israel and what God is doing, you are fighting God. And no man, as one person once said, you know, your arms are too short to fight with God. Well, we have Troy Miller on the line. Troy Miller is the president and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It's a nonpartisan international association of Christian communicators whose member organizations represent millions of listeners, viewers, and readers. So, Troy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, my friend. And Troy, for our listeners that may not be familiar with the NRB, can you give just a little thumbnail on what the NRB is established to do?
Sure. So the NRB is the largest association of Christian communicators, made up of radio broadcasters, television radio program producers, podcasters, streamers, publishers, you name it. If you're in Christian communication, even churches who are trying to stream their services, we're here mainly to advocate on behalf of our members that they can effectively and freely do what God's called them to do in the public sector. So we work a lot on Capitol Hill to make sure that the operating environment is clear of any regulatory issues or problems. And then we do a lot on First Amendment freedom of speech to make sure programs like you and other programs can stay on the air.
How is the work going these days?
Well, let me put it this way. There's no shortage of work. There's a lot of opposition out there to, you know, Christian communicators, whether it's from the government regulatory things that are coming down or from social media tech giants who'd like to silence the church. And, of course, the mainstream media is not our friends. So those are kind of our three major beachheads that we tackle. And right now there's a lot going on. Of course, today there's a hearing talking about AM radio to keep it in the car in the dash. So, yeah, no shortage of work.
Okay, so let me ask you, Troy, why is the AM radio issue a big issue for the NRB?
Well, look, if you look at AM radio, nearly 84 million people across this country listen to AM radio on a regular basis. And the top programming on AM radio is conservative talk, Christian talk and teach, and Spanish language programming. So a lot of our members are AM radio programmers. And AM radio is also the number one method for the emergency alert system that's used by FEMA. So I grew up in rural Nebraska, and a lot of rural folks know you can count on AM radio when you're not close to any cell towers and you're not close to an FM signal that doesn't reach as far. AM radio is your place to go, especially during times of disaster. So the auto manufacturers decided, well, you know, it's going to cause interference with our new electric vehicles, so we're not going to put it in. We went and bought that, and actually Ford was the first company to do that, and they reversed. The government accounting office said it doesn't really cost the car company about $40 to fix this. When you compare that to a $20,000 vehicle, this is an easy fix. So we really think it's about who controls access to information in the car. That's the real issue going on here.
Has this been something brewing for a while, Troy? Because this is the first, just recently that I've heard about it. But I'm assuming this is something that they've been targeting for several years to say, hey, we want to push this.
Yeah, so it's been talked about off and on for several years, and of course this administration has pushed the big EV vehicle mandates, and I think that pushed it to the forefront. So it was about 6-7 months ago when Ford, the first major car manufacturer, announced that they would no longer be including AM radios in the dash. And so that was the real push, I think, happened about 6-7 months ago. But again, it took a little bit of time to kind of unravel what was really going on here. It really never was about this $49 part. It really, at the end of the day, it's about who controls the information. So there's this technology now we call the connected car, and a lot of people know your car today can have internet connections. And the auto manufacturers would love to sell you a subscription to everything in the car, but we think free, over-the-air radio is important to America, and it's important to rural America, and it's certainly important to 80 million listeners who rely on it on a daily basis.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, shifting gears a little bit, one of the things I love about the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and From His Heart Ministries is a part of the NRB, and I've been going to NRBs for, 20 years now, and is the fact that the NRB stands boldly with Israel, makes no bones about it, and Israel is obviously in a war with Hamas and with the the government that controls Gaza, and then also Hezbollah and Iran. Iran, you know, that's the big one out there. But Troy, explain to our listeners why the NRB is so solidly in support of Israel.
Well, look, first, there's a lot of commonality, of course, in our Judeo-Christian backgrounds. We understand Christ was a Jew who lived in Israel, and we look at the map. I tell people all the time, it doesn't take much to open your Bible. Go to the back of your Bible, and you have maps, and the conquest of Joshua's in there, and you can see the land that God gave Israel, gave to the Jewish people. Even the Apostle Paul tells us that in Romans that the promises of God are irrevocable. And so this is a land that belongs to the Jewish people. And the scripture clearly tells us that those who bless Israel are blessed by God. So we stand arm in arm with Israel. But I was actually in Israel in December and saw some of firsthand what happened on October 7th. And look, whether you're a Christian and you stand with the Jewish people or you're just a human, you should stand with the Jewish people, because what happened on October 7th was just completely inhumane, what went on there. And we just have to be reminded that Hamas is the one who perpetrated this and started this war, not Israel. So right. we stand arm in arm with our brothers and sisters in Israel, and we're working hard because, as you know, I think I heard your last piece, there's a lot of opposition growing in America, and certainly in this current administration.
Yeah, so when we think about and see what's going on in college campuses around the country, it's just mind-blowing. And I saw where somebody paid to have a big screen put up to show what happened on October 7th, because these students are so ignorant of what they're protesting. I think most of them don't. They just jump on the bandwagon and somebody tells them, hey, you know, grab a sign and, you know, from the river to the sea. I don't even think they could find the Jordan River if you gave them a map. So they don't know necessarily what they're doing, but some of them do. And it's just very concerning, should be very concerning to every American, that this is what's taking place on our college campuses, and they've become indoctrination camps for the left. And so weigh in on that, Troy. What's your take on what we're doing with our young people?
Oh, you're absolutely right here, and I'll go just a step further. I don't really know how ignorant they are. These are you know, fairly smart college kids. They're headed, a lot of them are in very elite Ivy League schools, so they're not, you know, unable to learn. But this is really what we're seeing today. This is the result of years of indoctrination of critical theory, intersectionality, and all of these things that have been really pushed so hard on the college campus. I don't know if you saw yesterday, but at Columbia University, you saw that the professors were locking arm in arm, blocking the police from getting to these student encampments. And I really think that the left has unleashed a monster here that they can't even control. If you look at the campuses across the country that are, quote, trying to shut down these protests, they're being completely ineffective. And that's because they realize that they've created this monster. It's almost a cult-like movement in the fact that they don't even want to hear the truth. Their blinders are so tight and they're so indoctrinated that they don't even want to hear the truth. And every American should be concerned, because I think we're starting to see this spill over past what's going on in the Israeli war to a more sinister look at America itself. And it's amazing that these college campuses are now chanting death to America. It's something we in the church should be praying about, and certainly should be out witnessing to these kids.
Amen. We're talking to Troy Miller. He is the president and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We are up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the National Day of Prayer, which is on Thursday, and we should all agree that our nation is in desperate, desperate need of prayer. The problems that face America are far too great for any politician to fix. We need God, and God is available to us if we'll call upon His name. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to Troy Miller. He's the president and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, a very important entity and organization in our country. And Troy, just backing up a little bit, can you tell our listeners how you became the president? What was your pathway? Because this is an important position. So how did God prepare you to take this on?
You know, thanks, Jeff, for asking. That's an interesting question because it wasn't something I actually sought out. God is always in control. I've learned that through my life. I served in the Navy, and then I served in the tech industry for well over a decade, and then had the privilege to get involved with Christian ministry and Christian broadcasting by working for Dr. D. James Kennedy, which was great for me because his book, Why I Believe, was instrumental in leading me to Christ. And so he had a television and radio ministry, and then God moved me from there to Nashville, Tennessee, to start from the ground up what's known as NRB-TV, the Christian World PBS kind of format across the country. So I've been involved in Christian television and media for about 20 years. And then in 2019, I was asked to come over and help at NRB, and in 2022, they made me their CEO and president. So it's, as you said, it's an important organization because the gospel is the only thing that is really going to change and affect our country and around the world. And we're all about keeping the airwaves and the highways of media and mediums open to the proclamation of the gospel.
Amen. We at From His Heart Ministries, we got on with NRB-TV, I think in, right in the early days, and we've been blessed to partner with NRB-TV all these years. Troy, yeah. when you took over as president and CEO, correct me if I'm wrong, but the NRB was not in a good place.
Yeah, it had gotten sort of off track, off mission, and had gotten itself in a pretty tight financial place, but by God's grace and God's blessing, it's you know, sometimes you wonder, you know, I always thought I would go into ministry, but sometimes God has a different path for you into ministry. And so all those years that he used me in the tech industry, it was training me up. It was for a time like this to help right the ship here at NRB, and we have done that. And we just had our annual conference in February, and it was our largest attended conference in well over a decade. So that's really blessed us because, again, it's important for what work that we do to keep the proclamation of the gospel going in the public sector.
Now, we at the NRB, we boldly stand with Israel. There are lots of speaking events and things like that at the NRB that support Israel. How does Israel, the leadership in Israel, the Jews, not the Christians, but the Jews, view the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and Christians in general?
You know, we have a wonderful, very favorable relationship with many sectors of the Jewish community in Israel, both in the government. This year at the convention, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, did a video message to our audience, greeting our audience and thanking Christians for standing by Israel. We have a number of great working relationships with the Ministry of Tourism, but also with just several other groups across Israel. I think, you know, the fact that churches and Christians have been coming to tour the Holy Land for well over 30 years plus has made great relationships there. And we're doing more now with Jewish companies that are helping Christians out when they're seeing a lot of cancel culture here in the U.S. So it's really been a great relationship and partnership, and just allows us to minister to our brothers and sisters in Israel.
All right. So, Troy, Thursday is the National Day of Prayer, and the theme this year is Lift Up the Word, Light Up the World, which really fits in with the NRB. That's what the NRB is is helping ministries lift up the word and light up the world. So you're going to be in Washington, D.C. For this National Day of Prayer. Is that right?
That's correct. I'm actually in Washington, D.C. now. And we have the National Day of Prayer, as you said, is on Thursday. We will be praying back in the Capitol this time around. So this is the first time we've been back in the Capitol since post-COVID. So we'll be meeting early Thursday morning, and we'll be praying for a number of areas of our country. We'll, of course, be praying for the leadership. We'll be praying for businesses, schools, education. I get the privilege to pray for the media and for communications throughout the country, both Christians and others who are in this area. And as you said just before the break, it's really a privilege for us to be able to pray to God and for our country. And right now we know it's what's going on. This country is in desperate, desperate need of prayer.
So, Troy, if you pull out your crystal ball, and if America doesn't turn back to the Lord, because we have an opportunity, God is the God of hope, and God is available. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Just as in the book of Judges, when his people got away from him, when they cried out to the Lord, then he delivered them. What do you see taking place down the road in America if we don't turn back to God?
Well, I don't think you have to look any farther than, you know, the college campuses or the soaring crime rates around the country and things are going on. You know, as America turns its back on God, we've seen this. We just have to look at the Old Testament. You know, God lifts his hand of general grace, and we'll see this country more and more slip into sin and depravity. And it's really, you know, up to us as the church. The church is the one that the secular pagan America is never going to step up and do the right thing. They're always going to continue to slip farther and farther away from God and rebel more and more towards God. So the church has to be the one that really steps up. And I think we're in a time now where we have to make sure that we agree on all of the core principles of our faith. Of Christians as evangelical Christians, as Protestant Christians, and work hard together to bring this country back by proclaiming the gospel everywhere we can. That, I think that's just so important for us today, and it's the only thing that's going to turn this country, because if God's hand of grace continues to be pulled away, I think you're going to see this country tear itself apart.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that now. Well, you know, the scripture says in 1 John 5 that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. It's kind of like cradled like a little baby in the arms of Satan. And I think that's, Troy, that's why we see the conformity of the left. So it's not just one campus here or there. It's like it's just sweeping across the country. And this anti-Semitism that was, you know, around in the 30s, obviously, under Hitler, it seems like history's a broken record. It just keeps repeating itself. And the thing that shocks me is that these college students and even these professors, they think they're on the moral high ground by these chants and supporting Hamas and Free Palestine and all that. I guess the question would be, how can people be so ignorant of the truth?
Well, Scripture tells us that without a regenerated heart, that, you know, people are blind to the truth, and the Scripture also tells us that you know that we are by nature sinful, and I think this is, again, back to what's going on in these college campuses. I think these professors and these secular you know elitists don't understand that when you start to push people in the direction of, you know, it really is almost a division that they're trying to create. When you have the us and thems, they don't realize that our hearts, the depravity of our hearts, they'll take what they're taught there, and they're going to take it even farther. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why I think they're seeing so much backlash today, is that, you know, they taught this critical theory mixed in a little anti-Semitism, mixed in a little intersectionality, that all of the oppressors and the victims. And then you see this, and it starts off as maybe, you know, peaceful protests, but those peaceful protests go violent very quickly because, again, we're sinful by nature, and it's just not hard for us to get on that slippery slope. And so back to the scriptures, you know, the changing of hearts is the only thing that's going to cause this country to turn around. You know, that's what repentance is all about. It's 180 degrees. And we need a repentance in this country so the country turns 180 degrees.
Yeah, amen. Well, let me ask you this, Troy. How do you, as the CEO and president of the NRB, make sure the NRB doesn't go off the rails? You know, we see these seminaries starting to introduce critical race theory and intersectionality, and they just drift more and more to the left. How do you guys keep the NRB solid, focused on true north?
Well, first of all, we have a great board of directors that the membership has elected, and the board of directors has the oversight for the vision and direction of NRB, and then they elect what we call an executive committee. 10 members are our executive committee, and these are godly men and women that really understand the role of NRB and understand that there is opposition going on in the church, and there is drift going on in the church. You know, you're not going to stop yourself from drifting if you don't first recognize that there is drift out there, and then you have to actively make sure that you're not falling down that path. So we have some great pastors who personally reach out to me and pray for me, pray for the NRB to keep us on this path, and also some great pastors that we can reach out to when we have questions and say, okay, we see this happening in the church or this happening in NRB. So they're great advisors. You know, the Bible tells us that the counsel, that the wise counsel in many, and iron sharpens iron, and we really hold to that. I hold to that. And I'm so glad that there are so many godly members praying for NRB and praying for me as well.
Amen. Well, you had Donald Trump speak at this, the meeting in February. Do you get any pushback from members when you have him speak?
We didn't, a little bit, but not a lot. We didn't get a lot of pushback from members when we speak. We did get a lot of hate mail from other people. Some very vile and terrible things were, you know, said. It's amazing how the left, who always preaches tolerance, can be so completely intolerant and hateful. And it was a presidential forum. We invited the sitting president, the current president, and at the time we invited Ambassador Haley. She was the other leading candidate. Those two did not accept. So it wasn't just meant to be a speech by the former president, Trump. But look, he showed up. He's the one that accepted. And he's the one that came and talked about the importance of Christianity has on America, has on people, has on the family and society, and his commitment to ensure that the government would not continue to be weaponized against the church and against Christian media in particular. So we really appreciated that.
Yeah, he definitely hit on all the things that were of concern to Bible-believing Christians. I thought he did a good job. You know, it's tough with politicians because they're politicians, and so you wonder, okay, is this a talking point or is this a conviction? And, you know, that can be a difficulty. Well, Troy, and just in the last couple of minutes we have left, let me ask you, how can we best pray for you and for the mission of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention?
Well, a couple of things. One, you can, as I said, you can continue to pray that God would guide us with his wisdom and guide us with his footsteps, and he would give us favor in some of these very high institutions, especially as we work with the, you know, Congress and the different regulatory agencies across the federal government. But also today with the boardrooms of many corporations having come out of the tech industry, I know oftentimes these boardrooms, these tech CEOs only hear one side of the story. It's the left that's constantly pounding on their doors, and we're doing our best to get in there and tell them the story from the other side, and that, you know, Christians are not people who want to, you know, take over this country. We just really want to do what God's called us to do, and we don't want any interference in that. So pray for that. Pray for God's favor for us. And then look, as listeners, your listeners out there and listeners of Christian radio and Christian broadcasting, I would really encourage you to write to the programs that you listen to. Let them know that you appreciate them, you appreciate the work they're doing, that you are praying for each of them as well. A lot of our folks don't get the encouragement from their audiences they really need to hear. And so we just encourage you to do that, to reach out to your to the programs, reach out to the radio stations in your favorites. American Family Radio has done such a tremendous work for God over I think nearly 40 decades or 50 years that they've done. It's just a great job, and there's many stations like that across the country. So let them know that you appreciate the work that God has called them to do.
Amen. Amen. Well, Troy, you're doing a great job, and I appreciate you, my friend, and I look forward to seeing you at the next NRB, and thanks for coming on Real Truth for Today.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me, and I look forward to seeing you as well.
God bless. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we've been talking to Troy Miller. He is the president and CEO of the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and it is an important organization, and it does stand for truth, and it fights for truth so that the airwaves can be clear, so that we can speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. You know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And the left, influenced by the devil, wants to shut down the airwaves for the truth so the truth can't get to the people. Hey, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to visit with you. So give me a call and let's talk. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Let me just remind you that From His Heart Ministries, which is the radio and TV ministry that the Lord led me to start about 20 years ago, is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. And I think we have a lot of resources on there that can help you in your Christian life, help you grow, help you understand the Word better and better and better. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I'd love to talk to you. We've been talking to Troy Miller, President and CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and an important organization. So I encourage you to pray that the Lord would keep the airwaves open. They're having a big meeting today regarding AM radio, and we want to keep AM radio in cars so that car manufacturers can't just eliminate that, because for a good number of people, that's all they have. And so And much of talk radio, much of Christian talk radio and Christian broadcasting comes through on an AM radio station. And so pray for that, and pray, you know, as we approach the National Day of Prayer on Thursday, we always have a big gathering at First Baptist Texarkana to call people to pray for our nation. We need to be praying for our nation every day, not just once a year at the National Day of Prayer. But what's going on college campuses around the country in this pro-Hamas position is so sickening. And it just reveals all the rot and corruption that's in our university systems or, you know, places of higher learning. They're not learning. They're being indoctrinated toward communism. And it is indeed shocking. It's sickening. And the idea that anybody would side with Hamas over Israel, given what happened on October 7th, 2023, and how the Palestinians were so excited about killing Jews, killing babies, beheading people, putting people in ovens. I mean, just barbaric and evil beyond anything that we've ever seen. I mean, what Hitler did in Nazi Germany has nothing on what these people did on October 7th, 2023. And to think that you would have young people siding with those terrorists, it's just mind-blowing. And so we need to pray. Obviously, the devil is a deceiver, and he deceives the whole world, and he's a master deceiver. Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. He's a murderer. He's been a murderer from the beginning. And so he murders and he lies and he deceives. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what we're seeing take place. And America is being destroyed right before our eyes. And, you know, America's not in Bible prophecy. We don't read about the power from the West in Bible prophecy. And so America is, I guess, going to implode or self-destruct. Now, I maintain that I don't think that God is going to revive America as a nation, but God will definitely revive his people. And I think that America is primed for a great revival to take place. It may not change the direction of the country, but it does change the direction of individual souls from the broad road that leads to destruction to the narrow road that leads to life. And that comes about through repentance and faith. Well, the phone lines are open, and we have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, Jeff, I have a friend that's a Catholic. I know you have a Catholic background.
Yes, sir.
And I was in John 20 the other day and reading, I think it's around verse 23 or so, where Jesus is talking to the disciples about forgiveness of sins and preaching the gospel about which sins can be forgiven and when you're forgiven and things. And he told me that, I think he was telling me that that's where they believe that it's okay for the priest to forgive sins, that the human being priest can actually forgive sins and they have to go to confession. Am I hearing this correctly, or...
Well, yeah, they believe that for sure. And that's why you go to confession and you confess your sins to, you know, to a priest. And, you know, the Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so we go directly to the Lord, obviously, for confession. We don't have to go through a priest. But, you know, in Catholicism, Jay, you have a lot of a carryover from the Old Testament with the priests. And, you know, the priests in the Old Testament were mediators between the people and God. And what they don't realize is, well, because Jesus died on the cross and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, we have access to the Lord. I go to my Father and your Father and my God and your God, Jesus said in John 20. And so we don't have to go through a human being. We go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So that's the beautiful thing about Christianity is we go directly to God.
But they actually believe that the priest can forgive their sins. Is that correct?
Well, you know, I think they probably believe different things about that individual Catholics. But yeah, so you go to the priest, you go to confession, and you go in that little booth, and then you tell your sins to the priest, and then he says to you, okay, go and pray 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. And, you know, it's all works-based, and so I have to do these things in order to be forgiven, in order for that sin to be washed away. And that's why in Catholic theology, you know, if you commit suicide, then you can't be absolved of that, because that's the last act you did. And it just kind of bypasses, because it's all grace plus works equals salvation. That's their formula for salvation. They don't deny that Jesus died on the cross. They don't deny that he rose from the dead. And they don't deny that was important. But what you do with that, that is so important. So it's God's grace plus your works equals salvation. And that's why they don't have any assurance of salvation. So if you ask an average Catholic, hey, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? They would say no. And nobody knows that, because that's not something that you can know. Although 1 John 5 says that we can know. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. And they come up with this idea of purgatory. And so nobody is good enough really to get to heaven directly when they die. So they have to go to purgatory to purge your soul of sins, and then which is kind of like a form of hell. And then you're in there for a while to purify you, and then you get to go to heaven. And that's the theology that I was taught in Catholic school, and then as an altar boy, and from my parents, who were both Catholic. So it's just, it's not consistent with Scripture. That's not what the Bible teaches.
They have a different Bible.
Well, they have the Douay Bible, which includes books that we would not include. The Apocrypha is in there, and I think they have the Pseudepigrapha in there, but the Apocrypha for sure, Maccabees and those kinds of books, which has a lot of history, Jewish history in it. But then they also have fanciful stories of Jesus, you know, when he was 12, he made clay pigeons and then had them fly away, things like that, things that are just like, that's not in the Bible. And so, you know, you take all that stuff, all that intertestamental period, you take that with a grain of salt. That's not Scripture. That's got some history in it that's good, but it's not Scripture that you hang your hat on.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate you listening to the program. Appreciate you calling in. Well, we have Norman on the line from Mississippi. Norman, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Norman, are you there? All right, we'll come back to Norman. He doesn't seem to be there. Raul's on the line from Texas. Raul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Shreve. What would you say to someone, especially Christians, when they tell you two things you don't talk about is politics and religion? I mean, to Christians that have that, or even anyone, what would you say to that?
Well, I remember my dad, who was in the Merchant Marine, he said in the mess hall, you are not allowed to talk about politics or religion, because that could create arguments that could spill over from words to to fists, and so they didn't allow that. Well, I mean, we're called to speak the truth in love, and we're called to stand up for the rights of the unfortunate, as it says in Proverbs chapter 31. And I did a program just last week. We talked about abortion. You know, there's nobody more needy than the unborn, and so we're to stand up for the unborn. Well, that's a political issue, abortion, but it's a moral issue because abortion is murder. And so we are called by God to open our mouths for those who can't speak for themselves and stand up for truth and righteousness. And the Bible does have a lot to say about how Israel was to treat the unfortunate and how they were to treat the foreigner and how they were to treat the poor. And what you had was so much of the time the rich would oppress the poor and they would charge them higher prices. You know, Jesus, when he cast out the money changers in the temple, it's because they were extorting the people, charging them these high prices for things and saying they had to exchange their money. Their money wasn't good as regular, you know, everyday money. They had to get temple money, and then they would put a high price on the exchange. And it was just sickening. It was all done in the name of Yahweh. And I have maintained that hell's hottest flame is for those who take what is sacred, what is from God, and they use it for nefarious purposes, for the love of money or whatever it might be. They use it to deceive people. You're messing with the Lord's stuff there. You got to be really, really careful. Leviticus chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu, they burned strange fire before the Lord. Those were Aaron's sons and Moses' nephews, and God, boom, he killed them right there on the spot. You don't mess with God's things and tamper and tinker with God's things. We need to have tremendous respect and reverence and awe and the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. So the idea that, what we hear more about it, Raul, is that Christians shouldn't be talking about politics. Pastors shouldn't be talking about anything political. But there is such an intersection between politics and morality that how can you not talk about it? Transgenderism, how can you not talk about that? Homosexuality, how can you not talk about that? The Bible is clear on those things. And we're here to warn people. You know, I don't personally don't get too upset if somebody blows me off. And it's like, okay, well, that's your choice. But my job before the Lord is to warn you. You know, just like Noah building the ark, hey, this is the ark of safety. The flood is coming, and the door to the ark is open for you. There, we sing that song, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And that's the job of a Christian. Now, we do that with a heart of compassion and a heart of, urgency. But if people don't want that, then that's their choice. Tragically, that's their choice, and they're going to suffer the consequences for that. But I've been faithful, and the Lord says, hey, you're a watchman on the wall, and be faithful. If you don't warn people of the danger that's coming, then God says, I'm going to require that their blood on your hands. But if you warn them, then you're free from that. Then you did what I called you to do.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
Thanks, Raul. I appreciate you listening to the program. Appreciate you calling in. We just have about a minute. Norman from Mississippi. Norman, go ahead.
Yeah, brother, I just want to comment on why I think the world is as bad as it is. One of the things that we do as Christians, we like to harp on how bad the world is, not understanding that Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And what the church has failed to do is preach the gospel consistently. We have pushed programs, but we have failed to preach the gospel as it relates to kingdom living.
Yeah, very good. That's a good point, Norman. We are to lift up the name of Jesus, be salt and light in the lost and dying world, and point the way to Jesus, because This world is going down. It is a sinking ship, and Jesus is the only Savior. Well, thank you for listening to today's program, Real Truth for Today, and it's a joy for me to be your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.